Hey, Clipper Nation. Are you there? It's me, William the Opinion Updike. I'm here with the birthday boy.
Oh,
positive,
yeah.
Positive, Chuck Mockler.
It is my birthday, I guess.
Special 30 years of age edition of Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, in case you haven't heard of us. Contrary to what I opened this with, we're not going to be talking about every single year of Charles' life on today's podcast. We are going to be talking about the Clippers, which we do 5 days a week. Check us out. If you haven't already, please subscribe on iTunes. Come on, don't keep making me ask it.
It's not too hard.
Just do it. You know, leave a little rating. Leave a review. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't like.
Yeah. I actually do know what some people don't like. I'm going to hit it off right here. So there's horrible news. Boogie Cousins tore his ACL.
Yeah.
Absolutely gut-wrenching, I would say. It was terrible. Guy's a great player. Horrible rash injuries. I tweeted, you know, the classic, like, injuries are terrible. This is all bad. And then, because Dwight Howard used to play for the Lakers, I tweeted a GIF of Dwight Howard dancing when he heard this news. Because he could join the Lakers again. People thought I meant that I was happy Dwight... Or, excuse me, people thought I meant that I was happy that Boogie Cousins got hurt. It was a subtext joke. It's funny. It'd be funny if Dwight joined the Lakers again.
Okay, I'm going to cut you off right here because I believe this is the second podcast this week that you've opened up with explaining something on Twitter. And we're breaking the mold of this today. That's not what this show is about. Let me tell you, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to be kicking things off, real kickoff.
With,
talking about the huge ransom that we gave up for Paul George. There was some information in a Bill Simmons podcast with Brian Windhorst. Some new stuff kind of came to light. We'd like to discuss that.
Yeah, good stuff.
We're going to be giving some player kind of ratings for the season coming ahead. Just some kind of, it's like our yearbook, most improved, best smile, blah, blah, blah. And then today is Thursday, so we do it every week. It's Thirsty Thursday. We talk about who and what we're thirsty for. That's what we want to see more of. And then we're going to be wrapping things up with just some general Clippers talk. We might talk a little bit more about the DeMarcus Cousins injury and the implications for the Clippers. So stay tuned for all of that. No more apologies. Let's go!
So there were some cool things on the BS podcast with Brian Windhorst the other day. Just some crazy stuff about the Paul George trade. Apparently, the Clippers gave up all they did for Paul George because we generally thought that the Lakers were in the driver's seat because the Lakers were told they were in the driver's seat all the way up until July 6th. What a night.
Yes.
What an unbelievable...
I mean, that was...
Man.
Yeah, I'm still even thinking about that night. It's like a fever dream. So, I think that there's... I mean, I've beaten this horse to the ground, so I'm not going to say it anymore. But, you know, it's hard. You can't really view this trade through the lens of a trade for one player. The magnitude of what we gave up was just far too great for that.
We had to give up that much to get both guys.
Yeah, so I do think with any trade, there's going to be a little bit of buyer's remorse, you know?
Yeah,
where, like, looking back, you're like, you know... Maybe we didn't have to give up all of that. Maybe, like, maybe we could have saved a pick. Maybe we could have. I don't think Shea, this trade doesn't happen if Shea's not on the table. I'm sorry.
Of course.
Like, there's no way that you're getting, even if we're viewing it through the lens of a single player trade, I don't think there's no way the wheels are moving on a Paul George trade without Shea in it.
Yeah.
They need youth.
Agreed.
They need youth into their future.
Yeah.
I think depending on how this year goes and Gallo's health, you know, he might not be on the Thunder again in the 2020 to 2021 season.
For sure. He's already said he would put a preference on coming to a contender after this season.
Hey, I've heard of one.
I know it was going to be contending.
So I think that is like a little bit... I think that, yeah, the buyer's remorse thing can get a little bit crazy. It does surprise me, and I would like to know maybe a little bit more sources on this, that the Clippers were so sure that another organization was in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
I think that there might be like a little bit of a inherent little brother syndrome there.
Of course.
Like, oh man, everybody we think we're going to get ends up going down the hall.
Absolutely. And maybe not little brother, but... Depending on which side of the Staples Center you're on, it could be little brother or it could be we're asserting ourselves.
For sure.
You know, like a flag plant of like, this is what's real now. So I think it's kind of both, for sure.
But it doesn't, and correct me if I'm wrong here, this is just not the front office to make decisions based on what they think another team is doing.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, I guess to some degree, every franchise, you know, you're trying to build against what you already know is a commodity out there.
Yeah.
But this one I feel like was such an unknown commodity that I would just be surprised if the Lakers were in any way a mitigating factor in how much we gave up in a trade versus just wanting to get the deal done, period.
Yeah, I think they just wanted the deal done. Well, it's funny because Doc is, you know, Ballmer talks about how Doc was texting him of like, no, we need to add this extra pick. Like, we have to get this deal done.
Yeah.
So I think Doc was a huge factor in just wanting to get this deal done.
Yeah. Because
if we don't, the whole thing falls apart.
Well, and Jerry West, too, who wasn't in the room at the time.
No.
He was supposedly in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Eating dinner. I'm doing quotation marks in the air. But, you know, his sentiment was basically, you know, when he heard about that it was even a possibility, he said, just do whatever to get the deal done if you can.
Yeah. Just cool to get all this insight. I'm happy we're in an age where we can kind of see some behind-the-scenes stuff with this.
By in an age, do you mean 30?
That's exactly. Yeah, now that I'm an old man. So now let's take a look. I saw this thing. This was floating around social media. It is just kind of like roster predictions for your team, I guess yearbook style.
Okay.
We got most overrated, most underrated, best player, key new addition, surprise year, leap year, and prove it year for your 2019-2020 Los Angeles Clippers.
Damn. All right.
The toughest one. Who's the most overrated player on this team?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think if you're a casual fan, if you're not a Clippers fan, the most overrated player is possibly Zubats, because you are like, who is this guy?
Yeah, that's fair. And there's just been
no disrespect to Zubats. That's from the idea of a casual fan, maybe not. Because our starting five outside of Zubats, I feel like most casual fans maybe know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
Especially with Paul George when he's healthy.
Yeah, I would say...
But if I'm saying answers meet, nobody's overrated on this team. Everyone's underrated.
Yeah, I refuse to answer this one. So there's no overrated player thus far.
So most underrated.
Most underrated. Man, there's a lot of ways you could go with this one. I'm going to go with Jamichael Green, though.
Okay, that's a good one. That's
just
a great
because
one.
I feel like if you weren't a Clippers fan, you don't understand how much depth he adds to the bench or the caliber of player he can be if he does end up in that starting five.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, because people are going to be like, he's another one who maybe casual fans are like, who is this guy?
And yeah, and I think if you, I mean, you know, we talked about this before even the Kawhi and Paul George thing. That, to me, was a marquee signing for free agency. You know, yeah. We didn't know about it until later, till after the big fireworks, but that was the one going into the season that, like, if we wanted to maintain at least how good we were last year, that
we
had to
him.
Get done.
Yeah.
Had to get done.
And if the deal doesn't go through, it would have been an even bigger thing to keep Jamichael. Best player. This one seems fairly obvious.
Kawhi Williams.
I'm going Kawhi.
I'm going Lou Williams.
For the team or in general?
In the NBA. Yeah.
I respect that. Key new addition.
That I'm going Kawhi.
That going Kawhi. I'm going Paul George / Kawhi / Mo with a question mark. Maybe?
Interesting.
Because we obviously know that Kawhi and Paul George are the key new additions.
Yeah. I feel like that's like a little bit like, yeah, you can't really even...
But
I like that.
Mo could be he's super long. He could just be he could be like when Roberson was good for the Thunder, for us.
Yeah.
In terms, remember that weird time when it was like, Roberson is the key to the Thunder winning the NBA championship?
Well, I mean, his defense was just so damn
good. That's what I mean. If Mo gets on a streak or something like that, or he gets elevated by, say, I don't know, new assistant coach Tyronn Lue, he could be maybe another key new addition, I should say.
I'm really excited to see what we get out of Mo Harkless this season. He was a key contributor in Portland. He has playoff experience. He's so young, just 26 years old. Such a great defensive game, which I feel like we talk about all the time. But I feel like his offensive potential is still really there. Like, not the three, although, you know, that number could get better.
Yeah.
Than 21% or whatever he's shooting. It's sub 30. So there is room for improvement there, but I think that I'm curious to see how he's going to fit into that second unit, which is where I'm assuming he's going to be spending the majority of his time.
Yeah, especially it'll be interesting to see in the beginning of the season what happens. Next one we have, his three-point shooting last year, Mo Harkless, at 27%.
27, okay.
27.5. Surprise year.
Surprise year. Wow. There's a lot of ways you could go with this one. I think I'm actually going to go Landry Shamet. I just think that...
Just in terms of... Okay, no, sorry, go ahead.
I just think that he, you know, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, he got used in a very specific way, both in Philadelphia and for the Clippers. I think he's going to have a surprise year in that if you don't know his name yet, I think that this year...
You'll learn.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that he has... And there's just so much that we haven't seen of his game yet. I just think that he could come out and be wherever he ends up spending the most time, whether it's with the first or second unit, kind of irrelevant to me. But I do think that he could kind of show out a little bit this year, especially in this stretch where Paul George is out. There's going to be a lot resting on his shoulders.
Mine is, I know he got this last year too, I think Trez is going to have a surprise year.
Love it.
I think Trez is going to open things up even more in terms of his offensive game and maybe shore up his defensive stuff too, but I think Trez is going to surprise people again, and that's going to be the case until he makes everyone realize how good he is.
What are two key things that Trez would have to bring to the table to really surprise people, you think, this season?
Regular people, maybe a more of an outside shot and some better interior defense. Me personally, I'd like to see a better handle. He's been handling it a bunch in the offseason, which is cool.
Okay.
The confidence is there. And then some baby hooks, more hooks and crafty shots like that, because he has a pretty crazy package.
Yeah,
in terms of finishing around the rim. But something a little further from the rim would be great, like a pull-up, not a long two, or something where if he had to shoot, it's fine. We're not like, ooh, every time it goes up.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's good. I mean, I think, to me, if Trez got, if he shot 80% from the line this year, hell,
huge.
I'll give him 75. If he shot 75 from the line this year, he was around the 67 mark last year, mm-hmm. with the latter half of the season definitely being above that line.
Yeah.
So I would say if he could add a free, solid, dependable free throw shooting, and then, yeah, just that inside, like that interior defense, post defense, I mean, you know, he's a dog, and I feel like energy goes a long way. But if he just gets those instincts up, I think that'd be huge.
Yeah. All right. Leap year. I'm taking Shamet for this one, which I guess is kind of the same as surprise.
Yeah.
I take Shamet for this one for all the things you said. Shamet's going to take, I think, an absurd step into that we might have a problem with his rookie extension situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That thing where it's like, oh, this is what he's about to do in his second year?
Yeah.
Shooting above 40% from three, shoring up his defense a little bit, the handle improving even more. Like, he could be a problem
for sure
for our contracts, which is it's great for us in the meantime.
I mean, well, we still have him for two more years, and he's the lowest paid Clipper that has actually played a game in a Clipper uniform
for sure. Who's your leap year?
My leap year, I'm gonna go Jerome Robinson. And now I think that, so there's two things with this. A, the bar is a little low for him to have a leap year.
Okay.
I think, honestly, and I think from what we hear, a lot of the chatter is people are pretty unimpressed with Jerome Robinson. I think that people are kind of out.
He's going to be my prove-it year.
And I think that that's unfair. And I'm not saying that he has a prove-it year because it's still only a sophomore season.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason rookie contracts are the length that they are. It takes some guys a little while to develop. Obviously, he is a little bit older. But just seeing the work that he's been putting in the offseason thus far, transforming his body, I'm sure that, like, his health and nutrition regimen is going to take a whole turn. And the big thing would just be if he can stay healthy, stay in the lineup all season, I really think that he could take a huge leap as a player.
Here's an interesting one for me, actually, for a prove-it year.
What do you got?
Two guys.
Okay.
Kawhi and Paul George.
Ooh, I like it.
For all the reasons everyone is excited about.
I like it a lot.
Championship aspirate. Time to prove it, bro.
Yeah.
You got, like, this is what's up. You guys both got what you wanted. And I'm not saying this in, like, a combative way. I'm excited. Everyone on this team wants to prove something. Definitely these two guys.
So I've got two as well for my prove it year. And my first one, I mean, you already touched on it, but for me, it's got to be Paul George.
Yeah. Okay.
Paul George is a guy who's, you know, had some deep playoff runs, had a couple of disappointing years these last two.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, this is the best team that's been built around, like, it hasn't been built around him, but he's got the best squad of guys around him. Great coaching staff. you know, he has time.
He's set up.
He has time to recover from this injury. He's coming off one of the best seasons of his career. Let's see how far this guy can take it.
For sure.
Like, let's see, you know, what is Governor ripped off, pedal through the bottom of the floor, Flintstoning Paul George down the freeway.
That's a good call, man.
And then my other prove it has got to be Zubats.
Definitely fair. There's a great Clipperholics article up right now about what he can do to expand his game. Go check it out. Written by Garrett Chorpening. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking some quick Thirsty Thursdays. Want to give a shout out to Locked On NFL, your number one source for all the freaking expert info you need on your favorite teams. Go listen to About the Dolphins. It's not that exciting, but it's something, you know, if you like Schadenfreude, you can enjoy.
Secondary greatest source for NFL news is apparently our buddy Clayton, Matt Roger Goodell.
Oh, yeah. So welcome to Thirsty Thursdays.
Go.
I got a low-key one I'm thirsty for. I'm thirsty to see how well our medical staff performs this year.
Ooh, yeah.
If we win the championship, they should get MVP consideration.
Oh, man.
We got load management. We got Paul George, who might have some injury. We got Kawhi, who, you know, nagging injuries, I say that in quotes, seem like a thing for all superstars now.
Yeah.
Because you're just kind of tuning everything. So our medical staff, they really, I mean, for all intents and purposes, outperformed. Or I don't even know if outperformed because I don't know what expectations we had, but were phenomenal last year.
Agreed.
With this team. So this year, I'm thirsty to see how they can just manage everything.
Yeah.
Not that I don't think that they can, but it's going to be really cool to see.
Yeah, they knocked it out of the park last year, both bringing Patrick Beverley back, keeping Lou Will at a high usage rate, and still looking so spry out there.
They got Gallo healthy enough.
And they kept him healthy. I mean, he missed the fewest amount of games that he's missed in a while.
Yeah.
A while.
But yeah, I was thinking about it today. I was like, damn, I hope that the medical staff gets rings for when teams win the finals. I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah. Just piggybacking off of that, I'm curious to see, we could talk the coaching stuff later, but I guess I want to talk specifically about Sam Cassell.
Yeah.
And how, like, I want to see, obviously, like, Shea was his big project.
Yes.
So I'm curious to see, like, who is going to be the next. I'm sure he helps with everybody, but it clearly seems as though there's, like, a main guy who's under his tutelage. And I'm curious to see, like, is that man now? Is that going to be Jerome Robinson?
Yeah.
Some combination of the two? I love seeing Sam out there. He's always in a great
mood. Dude, he seems like such a great guy to get coached by. He's
so,
always happy.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
So I'm really thirsty to see, like, who's going to be the next disciple of Cassell.
Dude, Cassell's disciples. Cassell's angels? This piggybacking off that, just a quick nolly kickflip manual. Excited to see Lou and Rex defensive schemes.
Oh, Ty Lue.
Ty Lue.
I was like, in my head, Lou Williams.
Oh, yeah, no,
and I was
definitely
like,
not
he's
those.
He's planning the defensive schemes now?
Ty Lue and Rex Kalamian's defensive schemes. I'm really excited to see how those guys work together.
Yeah.
Ty Lue's a defensive coach. I'm not worried. It's going to be interesting to see if there's any clashes because Kalamian's a tinkerer.
Yes.
As we very well know.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see those two guys get together and just kind of bounce things off each other. And hopefully if this Lue signing seems like it's going to happen based on what everyone's saying. It hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah.
But hopefully it happens soon enough that they can really get in the lab and start cooking things up because preseason, which we're going to talk about next segment, starts soonish.
Yeah, I'm just thirsty to see what these defensive schemes are going to look like. Obviously, when you just have so many switchable defensive wing guys. So I'm obviously, you know, the combinations of what they can do on that first unit with Patrick Beverley, Paul George, and Kawhi, there's so many options, I feel like.
It's an embarrassment of defensive riches and offensive, but defensive ones are so much different because there's that intangible thing you can't teach about defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what Lou Will has with scoring.
Yeah.
Some guys have a nose for the basket. Some guys have a nose for defense. Lonzo Ball, fantastic on-ball defender.
Yeah.
With a part of his brain that you can't teach why you want to be that kind of dogged, determinated guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's twofold. Like, some people just have, like, that great awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also just have to work really hard.
Yeah.
You just also have to, like,
yeah, you can't
be both.
I don't think there's ever been a defender who, like, maybe Gobert, who quote-unquote makes it look easy. Because defending is so hard.
Yeah.
That it's like a thing, like, I guess if you're making it easy, you'd be like a smooth defender. But like someone who like generally looks like they're not trying.
Yeah.
Can kill it on offense.
Yeah.
But defense, it's hard to have that like sleepy eyed, like cool vibe while you're clamping someone down.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody and it's not, something's not like immediately
kind of Kawhi because he's so quiet, but that's just more of like a vibe thing, I guess, than what it looks like. Because it doesn't look like Kawhi's not trying out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe like Drew Holiday too. I feel like sometimes you like you don't realize how well he's defending somebody because it doesn't look like he's not doing the Patrick Beverly thing where I feel like
you know what the hell's coming.
And I love this about Pat, but it's like a barking dog or something.
You know exactly what's coming when you're getting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with Colin Sexton.
Yeah.
He does those crazy eyes.
Well, he's not that good of a defender though.
Yeah, that's true. I should say college Colin Sexton. I'm thirsty. I didn't realize I was gonna be at a thirst for this. More team building content.
Yeah.
We not having Toby and Bobby. First of all, happy birthday to Boban Marjanovic. Shares a birthday with me.
Wow.
Did not come to my party last year despite me inviting him. No Toby and Bobby has left us without one of the best, has left the whole NBA now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Without some of the best offseason content we had. When they were doing Soul Cycle together.
Yeah.
Like.
Great stuff.
That was so fun. I just miss that camaraderie from, I mean, I'm not saying the team doesn't have camaraderie now, but just that like full on, like these two guys are really good friends.
Yeah, what's the closest thing we got now? To me, it's
Lou and Bev?
Yeah, Lou, Bev, and Trez.
Yeah, because Bev was at a couple of, he was at some of Lou Willville's get-togethers.
I'm sure. The two, Instagram. Like that duo is.
Fire and Ice?
Yeah, the odd couple. I want them to get an apartment and eventually get in a fight where they have to draw a line down the middle of
everything. I want Bev to move into that house with Lou Will and just try and get some sleep. Because I don't think it would happen very much.
Trying to get some sleep!
Anything else you're thirsty for before we go into this preseason stuff next segment?
No, I think that was pretty comprehensive.
We're parched.
Yeah.
Coming up after this, we're going to be talking some preseason announcements. The games were announced, but first, support for today's show comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. You may have seen Manscaped on Shark Tank and Men's Journal, named their Lawnmower 2.0 as one of the best tools in men's grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with promo code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That is locked on, one word, capital L, capital O, at manscaped.com.
All right, so
we got preseason dates, baby.
About time.
We got games in Hawaii on October 3rd against the Rockets and the Shanghai Sharks. The Sharks game will be on the 6th. At Staples, we play the Denver Nuggets on October 10th and Australia's Melbourne United on October 13th. This is a brutal travel schedule. And then the Dallas Mavericks, October 17th, Vancouver, BC, 5 days before opening day.
All right. Well, Vancouver, beautiful.
I kind of wish there wasn't so much travel involved. If I'm being honest, I wish we went Hawaii, Vancouver, then LA.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being a baby. These guys travel in very nice circumstances. So I don't
yeah, it's still
hard.
Just tiring, though.
5 days feels like too close to the first game of the season to be playing a exhibition game in Vancouver. Maybe I'm being a baby.
I think
maybe I'm being a little too cautious.
I think it's fine. And like the thing is in preseason is like, you know, I'm not going to be disappointed to see any of these guys going 60%.
Oh, for sure.
Sub 60.
Yeah, I'm down with that. Another interesting preseason note. I don't know if anyone here saw what the Warriors and the Lakers preseason schedule is.
They play each other like six times. Something
they
like
play
that.
Each other like every game of, I think the Lakers except for one is against the Warriors.
Yeah, it's wild.
Can you set your own schedule? Do they just do that on purpose?
I do not know.
It's so odd. What do you think about, I feel like this is a nice smattering of player or, you know, level of teams we're going to see.
Yeah.
Shanghai Sharks is going to be cool. I think we're going to see some young guys because the Chinese League is super physical.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with the Chinese Basketball League, it is like renowned as one of the harder leagues to play in.
Yeah.
Just in terms of physicality.
Do you think either of the rookies cracked the rotation in any preseason games?
For sure. I think we see them, honestly, against Shanghai and Australia, against Melbourne United. I think we see them against those two guys.
Okay.
Well, maybe not, depending on the audience. Because a part of this is definitely trying to get you know, a hold in the Chinese market and the Australian market.
Oh, for sure.
That's why we have these teams play. But yeah, I think it'll be against
Lou Will, the most, I mean, up until the recent additions, Lou Will, the most popular Clipper in China.
Yeah, for sure.
The only counterfeit Clipper jersey you can buy.
when do you think we see rookies against these guys?
I mean, obviously it just depends how things go for sure, but I would agree if they're getting playing time, it will be against the Shanghai Sharks.
Maybe the Mavs too.
Yeah, that was going to be the only one that I would add is you could see him against the Mavs.
Just because it's so close to the
maybe
first game.
And like maybe depending on how the game is going versus the Nuggets, win or lose, we could see a little bit of time then. Just because I think it'd just be an interesting barometer in a preseason game that you know for all intents and purposes, there's no real stakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To see, so you get this safe environment where you can kind of see how these young guys could possibly fit in a rotation or work with some of the other pieces against actual NBA talent.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So I think that could be another interesting one.
I'm excited. I like this lineup. I like playing different teams. Like, it's going to be cool to see some international competition and maybe some guys who pop out or something like that.
Definitely.
We got to give some birthday shout-outs. First of all, happy birthday to Nipsey Hussle.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. That was one of the most surreal and intense nights of basketball. I think a lot of the players in the press who were there at the Staples Center that day.
That was unreal.
That was unbelievable. Hope Wilson Chandler's doing okay. He knew Nip and all that. That was big. I think we're going to see someone floated that we should have a Nipsey Hussle jersey. Like the Crenshaw jersey next year.
I think both
LA teams should do it.
I like it.
If both LA teams did a Crenshaw jersey when we played one of the four times, I don't think it would happen. But that'd be some unifying ass stuff, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, man, that'd be very cool.
Happy birthday to Nipsey. Happy birthday to Boban. Happy birthday to Chicago drill rapper Chief Keef.
Hey!
Go ahead and give...
That's some stuff I do like.
Go ahead and give Save That Shit a play right now if you haven't. And a very quick shout out for his birthday to Napoleon Bonaparte. Man, a lot of cool people born on August 15th. And then me. Should we talk about the Boogie Cousins thing for a few minutes?
Post-birthday? I mean, I don't... Can we even do any better? Yeah, let's talk about it.
Torn ACL in training. At first, the Woj tweet said suffered a knee injury, is going to get further tests. And then like 30 minutes later, Shams was just like, it's a torn ACL. He's getting tests.
Yeah.
It's probably torn. Dude, heartbreaking. Borderline heartbreaking.
So this is the thing that we still haven't figured out. Like post Achilles, it seems like the injuries just kind of pile on.
Mm-hmm. It's not another Achilles injury, which I think some people maybe don't get or something like that. It's all, you got to rebuild how you run.
Yeah, that's the thing is that like your entire, like the...
Your whole body.
The way that you've used your body is now needs to be completely retooled.
You need to rebuild the other, one of the two things that dictates your motion.
And he is a bigger dude. I don't know. It's a real shame. He
lost weight, too. Like, everyone's like, he was looking great. He was looking svelte.
Yeah, I think that he had a renewed interest in playing and, like, a new chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, he was gone for most of the year, and then he obviously wanted some redemption from what happened last year. Wilson Chandler on Twitter had a great thread about even just the quad injury.
Yeah.
Of just, like, the quad injury is the same thing. Any major injury in your leg, you're rebuilding your... Maybe not your stride, but you're rebuilding how you think about, like, what every movement has that thought in your head.
For sure.
And it's your whole life you've been doing it this one way. And then the stretch of injuries for Boogie, it's like, do we think, I mean, is he done? Physically, can he keep going?
I'm not ready to say that yet.
I don't think I am either.
I just think that...
But at the same time, it seems like, dude, this is so, I mean...
I think that he needs to take even more time off for this one. You know, maybe there's an argument to be made that he wasn't ready to come back from that Achilles.
Yeah.
He did.
That's the other thing, too, is it's so hit or miss. Yeah. You could be ready. I mean, you could be totally ready, and then because of just the nature of it, God damn it. It's just like, it's so hard to wrap your head. You're right. It's hard to even wrap your head around that question.
Yeah. That's just too tough for me to say right now. I also think, and I've been really surprised with how... like humbled in a positive way DeMarcus Cousins has been. So I do think that there is definitely still a spot for him in this league. You know, amongst he's, you know, he's at health, even if he is, you know, a diminished Boogie Cousins from what he once was, he's still one of the best 450 players.
Of course, yeah.
Available.
Absolutely.
So I do still think there's a spot for him out there.
It's tough to see. I hate that this is a meme now, but you genuinely hate to see this.
Yeah.
You absolutely do. Anything else?
No, that's going to do it for me.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. Tomorrow, I think you're getting a solo Will Updike tomorrow.
Yeah, probably.
Don't act too crazy, because he will bring the hammer down. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Check us out on iTunes. Check us out on the Himalaya app, where you can
summit the mountain of pod.
I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thank you so much for tuning in.